Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, so we're saying something about something beautiful in the first service. We thanked it, faith for the impossible. Somebody say, faith for the impossible. Jesus did a lot of interesting things in scriptures. Of course, you all know that Jesus is God. Do we all agree with the fact that Jesus is God? Do we all agree that Jesus is God? He did amazing things. Whatever you see in the life of Jesus is how God operates and how man is supposed to operate. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So the visible God we see is captured in the life of Jesus Christ. And since Jesus said we're created in God's image and likeness, since the word of God says so, I mean, that simply means whatever we see the image of God doing is what we are supposed to do. So if Jesus did not sin, yet he was in a world full of trials and temptation, we ought not to sin in a world full of trials and temptation. What he can do, we should be able to do. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? As I'm saying this, you may be wondering, you are not more of an Okpoga man than you are of a kingdom man. Even if you come from Apa, it doesn't mean that you are more of an Apa man than a kingdom man. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Before you were formed in your mom's womb and arrived in Apa or Okpoga or Vandikia, you started existing in the realm of the spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, before I found you in your mother's womb and you arrived in Israel, you had a destiny to be a prophet in me, in the realm of the spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So all of us, you have a destiny in God. A destiny that should not be limited from wherever we find ourselves in the physical. Are you listening? I did not see Ayo. They called your name. They did not see you. What happened? You woke up late. Satan happened to you on your graduation day. Jesus Christ. Jesus. Ayo. He was supposed to graduate too. Now that you did not graduate, will you start again? We'll trust God. Maybe we'll, in the second service now, we'll take picture with you. So that at least you have picture. But the picture in the crowd. You know, he said he woke up late. Shit. That's the devil. You know, we said something about Satan and sleep in the first service. He was not there. Yes. So you are more of a kingdom person than any place you come from. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Because sometimes when you wake up, you know, when you realize yourself in the world, you find yourself in one part of the world that believe in certain belief. And sometimes we allow those beliefs to culture our way of thinking and etc. Are we together? See, some people say, I'm a thief man. I don't joke with meat. Huh? And maybe you did not buy meat in the house. You have to joke with meat for meat to reach everybody. Do you understand? Even though me, I know I like, see how my wife is looking at me. I know I like, she's making me feel guilty. I know I like meat very well. There are days I say, Mama T, please, can you add one more meat for me? Please, I beg you in the name of Jesus. Just add one more meat for me. And she'd be like, Pastor Simon, you and meat, I'll add. And I'll eat. But I'm not fighting. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I must eat. Give me my meat. Give me my meat. What I'm trying to say is that I don't allow wherever I'm coming from affect the way I see life. I grew up liking meat because I saw my father eating a lot of meat. And in our house, we value meat very well. That's why I just observed that meat is very important. And that's how me too, I like meat. If you want to see one of the most funniest scene in your life, watch me and my dad eat food. You'll be so shocked in this world. Two of us, our eyes are on the meat. You know, those days, I don't used to have a problem but these days, if me and him are eating, you will see him eating and looking at me, and me too, and you'll be surprised, I know how many he has eaten. I'll say, you have eaten like three. I'm just eating one. I said, Simon, so you are not eating, you are counting my meat. So I discovered that I like meat so much. My father, even if there's nothing in this world, my father will buy meat. My father may tell you he doesn't have money, but meat, there's always special money for meat. The man does not joke with meat. So I grew like that too. I love meat. One time my mother-in-law came, and I didn't know she and my wife have discussed me in the secret place. That first season we were married, she said, "Ah, Pastor, I heard you don't like food very well, but you don't joke with meat, too." That's what I heard. I just knew that they've downloaded my life history. I said, "Yeah, I like meat, but not the way you think." She said, no, I heard though that you can only leave all the food, but your meat, that you eat meat very well. I just agreed. She said, in case she wants to sow a seed of plenty meat. Hallelujah to Jesus. What am I trying to say? Don't allow those things get to you so much that it disrupts the fact that you are a kingdom person. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Not lying. I'm not saying don't begin to hate me. That's not what I'm trying to say. There are a lot of things we probably can learn from wherever we are coming from, our environment, our culture, that may alter the flow of the kingdom from within us. Are we together? For instance, I grew in the barracks. Some people may say, "I'm a barrack boy. I don't take nonsense." No. You are a Christian before you are a barrack boy. Are you listening? A lot of times when people know I grew in India all my life, they are shocked because probably they felt like in the situation they saw me, I should have reacted better than how I reacted. And by better, I mean to their own civilization. Probably I would have reeked, I would have shouted, you know, and the rest. But maybe they saw me calm and they were wondering, you say you grew in barracks, yes. Why are you this calm? Why are you this calm and collected? Why didn't you shout? Before I became a barrack boy, I'm a kingdom man. Are you listening to me? I'm from the kingdom. And maybe I should just add this, that barrack boys are not foolish boys. Because a lot of people think barrack boys are crazy human beings. They are not entirely like that. There are some that are very crazy in the way they think. Doesn't mean they are crazy in life. Crazy because of the environment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Tough because of the environment. But very disciplined people. Some of the most disciplined people you find in the world are barrack boys. I'm not trying to hide barrack boys. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's the truth. In fact, we found out recently, one of my friends, that most pastors who are doing so well are barrack boys. We're very shocked. Hallelujah to Jesus. What am I trying to say? That you find a lot of discipline. There's a lot of discipline in the barracks. But that's just aside. I'm trying to say that wherever you are coming from should not influence your character. That you grew in a way street does not mean your life should be away from the normal. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You got to think. You have to think according to the word of God. Nobody should look at you and trace your life from away street. Nobody should look at you and trace your life from Maraba, Massacre, or any other place. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. There's a root word in Hebrew called Mara. See the right things. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you stay on the word when you Mara. It will alter Maraba from your life. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, you stay so much on the word. Amen. So don't allow wherever you are coming from affect. You know, sometimes you just need to, of course, if you ever were subjected in a place where there were not so much roads, you would truly not care about civilization until you truly go outside there and are exposed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Ah? Huh? That's why you see people that complain about Benue are people that have traveled outside of Benue. You see them complain about Benue. The first time I came to Benue, I was so shocked. Thank God for a lot of civilization now. That first time in Remedias that I came in 2012, 2013, when I came to Benue, the first place I stayed, my uncle told my mom he has a house for me. I should come and stay with him. I was so excited to come to school. You know, when you're coming to university, that excitement. Even if it's Remedias, I just wanted to leave the house. You know, I thought it's nice to leave the house. I didn't know that was a trap from the devil. And, you know, when you stay 200 level, you know that home, there's no place like home. No, is it 200 level second semester? That's when your eyes will be open. In first semester, you are happy you left home. Nobody sent you to wash plate. From 200 second semester, you will not mind to go back home and wash plate. As long as you are eating food and have peace of mind, no problem. You go and wash the plates. You say, Mommy, I'm coming back home to wash plates. But in 100 level first and second semester, you think you left misery, sufferings. So I was excited to come to school. And he told my mom there was house for me to stay. Only for me to come and we enter hot. I'd never seen a hot physically for a long time. Almost all my life, I've never seen hot. When I entered Benue, I began to see it from the entrance. So I thought, oh, these people that are living in hot, God will help them. God will help them and the rest. And when we came opposite BSU that time, it was just opposite BSU. Now there are no huts there, right? Just opposite BSU. I don't know how to describe that place. Beside Varsity, after Varsity Tito, there's one fuel station. You now go like that. Just by the right-hand side, my uncle's house used to be there. So when he welcomed me, he said, welcome home. Go and keep your bag inside the room. I said, where is your room? He said, this is your house. I said, a hut? You people live here? Immediately with my bag, I called my mother. We don't have house. Why in a hut? I started crying on the floor. I cannot live in a hut. What if rain falls? I didn't know that the thing has even protection against rain. When I entered the room, I dropped my things. I was crying in my heart. I was feeling so bad. Guess what? I think the next week, a bit 2 weeks later, my mother sent money for a house. I had to go and rent house. Hallelujah to Jesus. I had not seen something like that before. So, but you see, when I came here, I was just complaining. What kind of a place? When I moved, you just see, and you see, students that were coming in were even renting the huts because some people didn't really care. Most of the people renting the hut, not trying to talk down them, they were used to the hut. But those that were not used to it were not renting hut. They were renting house. Sorry, they were renting on hot houses. But the ones that were used to it didn't mind. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So we were complaining. I was so, what kind of, I said, there's no road. I was telling my mother, I'll be just telling my mother, no road, dude, no road. These people are living in bush. And they say this is the heart of town. If you need to come here and see it. She said, I've been there. I said, no, you've not seen this place. So I didn't appreciate what I saw here because I was used to places that were very civilized. What am I trying to say? A lot of times, wherever you grow can actually limit you if you are not careful. It may limit your vision. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Say, I deserve the best things of life. Shout it. Say, I deserve the best things of life. You deserve it. You deserve it. You know, when you go in places that a lot of us are limited in the maybe of the people you know are limited, the best of you is just a gate man or blah, blah, blah. When you go out there, you wouldn't mind to want to be a gate man. You wouldn't mind. No, there's royalty on your inside. The king lives with you. You are the king's kid. You deserve the best. You deserve the best. The Bible says we've been blessed with all blessings, all the blessings in the world, in Christ Jesus. You don't talk poverty, you don't talk lack. Because your words can limit you. I hope you know that. Let me show you in the book of Job, how your words can limit you. Job. Chapter 6 from verse 23. In the Amplified Rendition. Every height must come down. Every stronghold must be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You have overcome. Oh, rescue me from the adversary's hand. Or redeem me from the hand of the tyrant. Next part of scripture. Teach me and I'll be silent. Show me how I have erred. Give me the NKJV from 23. Teach me And I hold my tongue, cause me to understand wherein I have erred. You see that? Job is saying, I've erred in my speaking. Teach me. Let me hold my tongue. So that I don't keep on limiting my life. Verse 23 again. It says, deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the oppressor. This part of scripture. Then it says, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. Teach me, because his mouth caused verse 23 to happen to him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I've erred. Meaning, he knew that he erred in his speaking. The things he would have said before. When he spoke his fears. I was teaching leaders yesterday. I heard a man of God years ago. He said, if this my associate leaves me, then Satan has gotten me. I know I'm finished. I am not so old as a pastor, but I remember the word of the Lord. I said to myself, I wish he didn't say this. He said in a very public, he's a big man of God. He said it. And I said, I wish he didn't say these words. Because Satan would take advantage of these words. And that man of God was not thinking, the associate was not taking that direction at all at that time, probably. But today the associate is not there again. He has started his own work. Now, he said, and Satan has gotten me if the associate leaves. You see that now? The Bible said, what we fear comes upon us. It was Job that said so. He spoke fear. Satan took advantage of the fear and made sure it happened. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Should I shock you? Wherever you are right now is a result and effect of your believing and everything you have said. You are at the end of everything. Your life right now is a function of everything you've been saying about your life. It's not a joke. I'm not lying to all of you. Wherever you be tomorrow is a function of what you keep on saying. Because what you see affects your heart and affects you, your speakings. See, it's a law of life. You can never be better than your belief. And the proof of your belief is your speakings. It's designed to happen on the inside before it finds expression on the outside. When I say 5 years from now, I'll be everywhere in the world, I don't need anybody's approval. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I keep on believing it, speaking it, praying it, and it happens exactly the way I'm saying it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When we wanted to leave the campus, people thought we were mad. Some people came and said, you are too young to leave the campus. We don't think you can do that. Here we are today. We are waxing stronger. Because we said it, we saw it, we said it. The Bible says we believe and so we speak. It's a confession is made unto salvation. What is confession? The root word in Greek is homologio. Saying what God is saying about you. If he said you are healed and you said I'm going to be healed, you are not saying the same thing. If he said by his stripes we are made whole, you said I am healed in the name of Jesus. I can't be sick in the name of Jesus. You are saying what he has said. You are agreeing with his word. If he said, he that is born of God cannot sin because the seed of God is in him, you declare, I can't sin. They say, why? The seed of God is in me. You are agreeing with his word. And to hell with anybody saying that nobody can live above sin. We don't care. Whose report shall we? Whose report? I don't care who says we can't live above sin. They can argue with their Bible. I will never argue with anybody for what I've seen in the word of God. I can never do that. I'm not foolish. As I'm in this service, if you are arguing that it's not possible for somebody to live above sin, I agree with your agreement. Keep on agreeing with yourself. We're not supposed to debate about it. If the word of God says it, it is settled. When Jesus said she's not dead, she's asleep, they began to laugh at Jesus. That's what the Bible said. In Numbers 13:30, the first report says that the two guys were like, let us go at once and take over the city. For God said we can, even though what they saw was so unbelievable. They saw milk and honey, yes. But they saw the sons of Anak there, giants. In verse 30. 31, the next folks, 10 reports. The ten reporters, the spies. They said, no, we are nothing but grasshoppers before these people. And they said, we're going to die before them. Blah, 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 blah. And they began to complain. They murmured. You know, the Bible speaking. David says in the book of Psalms, he said, their murmuring limited the Holy One of Israel. He said, they did not mix what they have received from the Lord with faith. They heard the word of the Lord. Instead of moving in faith, they began to complain. God, you say we should do this, but it is too big for us to do. If God truly has something for you, if he tells you something, even you will struggle to believe it if you are not careful. Huh? Do you believe that? I believe that you start making $1 million not so long from now.
Yes, sir.
Ah. No, you don't. A time will come, you'll be talking about millions of dollars.
Yes,
do you believe if I tell you? If I tell you that what you are doing now will make you millions of dollars, will you believe that?
Yes,
like this skill you have now, or this skill you are learning now, it will bring you to a point that you have millions of dollars.
Yes,
it's true. See, learn it in anticipation. Be seeing the future. Let it be so bright in your mind. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
it's true. You think you are just learning data analysis. Watch and see. This thing will take you up and up and up. Now, look at where you are. It is God's grace that brought you here. Because you learned something. If you did not learn anything, you would have not been here. Because he said, I will bless the works of your hands. You learned something, his grace leveraged on that thing and brought you here. What if you improve on what you learned that brought you here? You know, I called a few of my tech guys. I said, God bless your hearts. You want to do business and whatever, whatever. But this is my stand. Improve on what you are doing. Improve on it. Improve on it. When you improve on it, you get to a point that you, heaven and humanity, know that you are indisposable. You can get to that point that anybody that wants to sack you know that it's to their detriment. Because if they dare it and another people catch you, you will with those people win them. They know that your value is too much. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Get to that point. It's a function of you working on yourself. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Don't stop. Don't stop. I tell you, financial success. God wants to give you a lot of money, but it's a function of how you are healthy spiritually on the inside. Those in Egypt can be getting the money. You see, Israelites were in the wilderness. They were suffering. They were God's covenant people, suffering in the wilderness, isn't it? Do you know that while they were suffering in the wilderness, Egyptians were eating food, were enjoying their life. God's people were in the wilderness. Sometimes people tell you that you are a Christian. Why is it that you have to trust God and pray to even eat food? Meanwhile, unbelievers are just eating food and enjoying their life without praying in tongues or giving their tithe. Don't agree with that voice of foolishness. If you discern properly, why were the Israelites in the wilderness? Why were they in the wilderness? God said, I took them through that path because their mindset were not ready for the promised land. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? Their mindset were not what? Ready. Now listen to me, some of you think you have been long in church, serving God in church. These Israelites were having encounters, supernatural encounters. Fire by night, cloud by day. Manna from heaven, their cloth for over 40 years did not fade. As they grew, the cloth grew with them. That's supernatural. But listen, God still said their mindset was not okay to enter the promised land. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? God did not allow them because their mindset was not okay to enter the promised land. Now, what I'm trying to say is that you can be enjoying supernatural encounters, yet you don't have the right mindset to enter the promised land. There are Christians who are enjoying supernatural encounters. They are seeing angels. They can feel the presence of God, the tangibility of God's presence, yet they are in lack. Why? Because their mindset is not okay. If you observe the children of Israel, they were still in lack. Yes. What God did was that anytime they need food, you give them food. Boom. Let them eat. Although it was part of the training, but meanwhile, they didn't have all their needs fulfilled. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Him giving them food at every time they needed food was part of the training, although they did not figure it out. Whenever they want to drink water, he will leave them to get to that point where they can't take it anymore before water will come. Not because he can't give them water. They were complaining. That's why he extended the time. Like, God, give us water. Give us water. Now, must we shout? Blah, blah, blah. As they were shouting, God said, they will not take that water. They will not. And when they shouted for Moses, Moses had to go to God. Please give them water. And when God told Moses what to do, when Moses was coming back to implement what God said, they were shouting, give us water. Give us water. Moses got offended. Instead of doing what God said, he got angry and did another thing. Water came out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But Moses now has a problem with who? God. I was telling some pastors, I say, if you are not careful, members will make you have problem with God. They will make you feel bad. You become angry. Let me give you an expo. I hope you know that if the children of Israel, they were telling Moses, there was a point they were saying they wanted to select another leader for themselves because they were tired of Moses. Moses was doing everything God said and it was hurting them. And they said, we want another leader for ourselves. Look at the portfolio of Moses. He used to be the son of Pharaoh. Meaning Moses would have bought a private jet if Moses was in our world today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He can buy a private jet. Moses had all of his need met already. The Bible says, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of who? Pharaoh. He followed the children of Israel, carried them. Now, if anybody wants to go back to Egypt and enjoy, who will enjoy better? Huh? And here is Moses, limited because of the people. God is the assignment of God that kept him in the wilderness. If Moses wanted to truly enjoy his life and forgot about the people, he would not be in the wilderness. It was because of the people Moses was in the wilderness. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And the people are complaining against Moses. He got offended. I'm trying to show you the reason why Moses got offended. It was truly looking like it was justified before men. But before God, it was still not a right reason. So some pastors are in that place of their life where they've sacrificed a lot to submit to God's purpose. And sometimes they are not appreciated. And you see them, they just become another monsters on stage, laying curses on members. I saw a pastor one time saying, it shall never be well with you. I said, it's not supposed to get to that point. Oh, this wicked member. Somebody left the church with people. Say, you left the church with the people. You will never have children. Just as you don't want me to have children. God curse you. God punish you. I say, hi. Pastor, you felt so pain, but it's not supposed to be like that. Because whatever you are saying will truly follow these people. The Bible says our mouth is for blessing and not what? Cursing. We are not supposed to curse people. We are only supposed to bless them. Because a lot of times, whatever we say comes to pass. Are you all listening to me tonight? What am I trying to say in essence? Don't allow fear, unbelief to limit you. And unbelief comes by hearing and seeing, just like faith comes by hearing and seeing. Wherever you have been can determine how you think, feel, and see life. Are you listening to me? If you look at God's word, you get exposed to life. You get civilized. And you begin to demand what you truly deserve. Beyond your locality. Take for instance, I say I'm a blessed man. All things are mine. In the name of Jesus, we will bring airport. We will build airport in the city. Somebody will look at me that knows Benue very well and Benue politics. He will say, you are just dreaming. Nothing like that can ever happen in this land. But I don't care whatever you are thinking. Elisha said, by this time tomorrow. And words got the job done. Glory to God. So we send words. We send words. We've said it before. We are saying again. The days are coming and the days are coming very, very soon. That on the strength of Kabod, we'll have an airport in the city. People will not need to go to Abuja before they come here. They will land in Makurdi. Because we've sent the words. Now he said, as far as your eyes can see. As far, see it. What are you seeing? See it. See it. You may start life in Otukpo. It doesn't mean you will not end it in Oxford. No, it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean. Do you know you can still go to Oxford? Huh? You can still finish your master's in Oxford if God wants it. Otukpo cannot limit you because you have the Holy Ghost. It can cause you to fly beyond any limitation. Are you listening to me? And do you know that you don't even need to go to Oxford? You can be in Makurdi, Otukpo, Okpoka, Zakibiam. And nations are coming to the brightness of your rising. Yes, sir. As you are rising, nations are coming. Yes, sir. A blessed man have no location. Yes. Anywhere I go, I'm blessed. If I step my leg in Abuja, I walk in the blessing. I step my leg in Lagos, I walk in the blessing. I step my leg in Taraba, I walk in the blessing. It's about me. It's not about the environment. When I arrive, everything begins to work together for my good. The law of attraction. Things just begin to work together for my good. somehow life must just favor me because I'm the righteous one. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You got to understand your arsenal as a son. All the things you have. All the things you have for life and godliness. We have angels around us. In the name of Jesus, SS is not AA. You declare it with no fear. God will cause it to be a manifestation. You say the words, the Father does the work. Glory to God. Yes, an imbecile can be normal. I've seen it work. I've seen the word of God cause an imbecile to become normal. He walks, you know, the way imbecile behave. The mother was in faith, the boy became normal. You believe God can do that?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. In Gabon, we declared a word for a baby here. There, Jesus. It's done. It's done. Down syndrome, up syndrome, we don't care. Whatever syndrome that it is, it's done. Hallelujah. It's done. You see it, you say it in faith. You say it in faith. That we declare now you are not seeing it in manifestation does not mean it will not happen. Jesus said this fig tree dry up. It did not start drying up immediately. When they were coming back, Peter said, Master, like you said, it has dried up. And Jesus said, your faith is small. It's small. Verse 24 of Mark 11, very, very fast. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall what?
Amen.
On the strength of 23, let's see 23, the reply of Jesus. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, because they said, Master, what you have said has happened in verse 22. Jesus now said, assuredly I say to you. Let's read from verse 22 so that you understand. Have faith in God, right? Another rendition will say, have the faith of God. Let's see 21. I want you to see how this started. And Peter remembering said to him, Rabbi, look! He was shocked. Look! You see an exclamation mark there. The fig tree which you cursed has withered. It didn't happen immediately. They left. No sign. He started dying from the root. You know, guess what I'm trying to say? That the things you have been saying are started working from the inside yet. Don't give up. There may not be sign in the outside. It has been doing something on the inside. The Bible says, from the root, it was withered. Next part of scripture. Jesus did not say, I'm a big boy. No, he said, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. In the original, it means have the faith of God. Have the faith, because he spoke it. So what the original suggested is true. Meaning speak like God in situation. To prove it to you, see the next part of scripture. If it's truly have the faith of God, he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, so it's truly have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. You will be the one to address it in the stead of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You speak it like it was God speaking to it. You speak it in the name of Jesus. Speak to the situation in the name. The situation responds to God through your words. Remember Psalm 103 verse 20. The Bible says, angels hearken to the voice of his word. He said, be removed and be cast into the sea. And he said, if anyone says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Meaning it's a function of your believing. Just you. Does not doubt in his heart, but believe all the things he said will be done, it shall be done. No one that Jesus will look at people and say, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. If you believe you become the best, your faith has made you whole. You become the best. Do you believe that? If you believe you can never be small, your faith has made you whole. If you believe you become a billionaire, your faith has made you whole. If you don't have any doubt in your heart, you don't need to see any trace. You don't 23.3 kobo. How do we connect that to 23 billion? But it's happening. It's happening. That as I'm talking to you, one day your account will reach 23.3 billion. Can you see it? Now imagine there's 23 billion in your account right now. How will you feel about yourself? You just be smiling unnecessarily. Even if a pastor does not preach and he says, "Preach, preacher! Oh, this word is killing me, oh God." Now, just imagine there's 23 billion in your account. Talk to your neighbor like you have 23 billion in your account. Let me see how. You know, talk like a 23 billion watch of a human being. See, people are still talking like it's 23,000. I said, talk like you have 23 billion. There's a way you talk. Hi, how are you? What do you want? Just mention, what do you want God to do for you? I mean, 23 billion. Kabaye. USD, yes. Yes. Imagine with 23 billion in your account, you are sharing flyers for service. If you imagine that thing and you do not see yourself seated in church, you will not have it. So I'm seeing myself with 23 billion, but I'm in the house now in my jacuzzi, watching, streaming live church service. Like, wow, prophet, you're teaching good, man. We can't make it. Business schedule is tight. 23 billion and you are winning souls. You're on the street. Winning souls. And if you don't like the street because your car is so wonderful for that street, you are in the street and pass there to preach. Do you understand? Right? For the gospel, yes. A time will come, we'll say, seven of you stand up. You guys should just take over, have over 100 billion. Gather over 100 billion. And just make an airport for people to be coming for Kabul. And people will be lobbying the project. They'll be like, "Pastor, can I please do right? Pastor, please, permission to be part of the project. It's been a long time I was really part of a project." Yes, see that? And that's how it shall happen. Yes, I was saying, what we are building is just the beginning. It's not all. The kind of land we want to buy is a type that will have space for parking private jets and helicopters. Imagine you are in London and you want to make it to service. You didn't hear what I said. Imagine you are in London. You want to make it to the first service. So you take a flight probably from Friday. And you've been flying and you know, your pilot, you took your bath in the private jet. You know you can bath. People don't know. I bathed once in the private. You can bath in your private jet. And you know, just put your, you know, freshen up, brush your teeth and etc. And you just land in church and come out for service. You have your parking space. And maybe we're expecting one of our brothers from Canada and another one from Johannesburg. They have to make it. We have an official pastor's meeting, so they have to come with their family in their private jet. Because if they had probably used commercial airlines, they won't make it because they will say, "Sorry, the flight has been postponed. Sorry, the flight has been cancelled." And do not make it for something very important for soul winning. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? As long as we want to talk about souls matter, the amount that we will spend does not matter before God. Nothing can be offered in exchange of his soul. For soul's sake, buy private jets. Thank God for our men of God that have. And we pray more men of God will have private jets. Because they imagine Padiboy going to preach in the US. Souls are waiting. And it's probably at Arik Airlines or Peace. What do you call this? Air Peace. And he says, sorry, the blah, 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 blah. We can't make it. The plane is, we are suspecting the plane's engine. Blah, 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 blah. And Padiboy will say, "Okay, sorry guys, I can't make it again. The meeting has been canceled." Let somebody shout hallelujah. It should not be nice. But imagine he has his own private jet like he does. For the kingdom's sake. He has a meeting, he makes it. And over 1 million people receive Jesus. Wait, can you now substitute private jet for 1 million souls receiving Jesus? Rubbish. Give him 10 of them. Because what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? Between Ronaldo and Padeboy, who deserve private jet? I'm a Ronaldo fan. Don't get it twisted. Ronaldo is better than Messi. But between, let's say, hey, stop. You are joking with your pastor. Stop. Let me continue what I'm saying. Between, amen. You know, you guys don't have respect. I say Ronaldo is better. You want to argue me? You know, we're fighting wrong systems. When a system is favoring one person, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, imagine I'm between FIFA boy and Ronaldo, between Ronaldo and Adebwe. Who deserves a private jet? You see, Messi fans have lost it. They don't want to hear me again. Please hear me. I'm preaching the gospel. Hallelujah to Jesus. Who deserves a private jet? I don't even go to Messi. That's, of course, for Messi, we should not ask the question. So who deserves it? Padeboy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Between Pastor Chris and Rick Ross, who deserves a private jet? If Rick Ross is coming to Nigeria, what value is he coming to give? God loves his soul and we love him too. But he can offer better value than Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris just did a crusade recently that filled 15 stadium. One man filled 15 stadium in one night. Imagine the number of souls that received Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If there's anything better than private jet, we should gift that man. He deserves it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? These people are laboring for souls. Do you know why all of us are Christians today? Some of you will just be looking at pastor and be saying they are buying paper. If Renard Bonnke never came to Nigeria, some of your parents will not be Christians. Do you know when they entered Otukpo, all those places, they've not born some of you. When these people came and preached the gospel and they carry a leku and throw away. The Aleku that remain now is some stubborn people that did not want to throw away their own. They burnt all those things in the days of Renard Bonnke. Those guys came to Nigeria. They labored, they entered this town. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Came and preached the gospel to you people. Do you know that as they came like that and preached the gospel, your village people did not give them money to do the crusade. It was other people there that sponsored those crusades. So even though we are saying money is not important, even though we are saying that money is not a focal point, money is very important. And if God wants to make you powerful, one of the things God will give you is what? Money. He will give you money. Money is only foolish in the hand of a foolish person. It's only useless in the hand of a foolish person. I mean, the Bible says the prosperity of a foolish man destroys him. But prosperity in itself does not destroy people. But when you give a foolish man prosperity, what will he do? Womanizing. Alcohol. The prosperity will destroy him. But there are a lot of people that have money and they are building churches. They are opening orphanage homes. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are using money the right way, giving to widows. And I'm sure if you have a lot of money, you will give to the less privileged. You push the kingdom. I'm sure. Isn't it? You know, I was talking to one of my friends who recently got into real estate. I think while we were doing the talk show the other day, 2 days ago, he called me just before the meeting and I told him I was live. And after then, he wanted to see me. So we saw in town and he was showing me a second car he got for $23 million. He got one for like $15 million there about one Benz. Then he got another one now recently for $23 million. Now, last year, early this year, that guy was so broke. so broke, the only thing he knew how to do was praying in tongues. He would just lock his head. But as he was doing that, the Holy Ghost gave him an instruction during NYC service. He told him to take his money and to gift one of his boss. The boss was in real estate. And the guy, when he gave the boss the money, the boss said, "Who taught you this?" He said, "No, sir, I just feel." He said, "Don't worry." He insisted he gave the boss the money. The boss said, "Follow me. Don't give me the money here. Follow me to the house." When he sat in the parlor, his elder brother that he has done things for, siblings, you know, when you do things for siblings, they know that it's their right. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They don't even tell you thank you. There are some of you that when your elder brother sends you money, you say it's not enough. Instead of saying thank you, you say it's not enough. Other people, elder brother, are sending them better money. You send me this. Now, who told you that they wrote it anywhere that your elder brother must send you money? Is your elder brother that born you? Huh? So I'm last born now, looking at me now with bad eye. Is your elder brother that born you? Who born you? Your father and mother. And now you and your father and mother are conspiring against your firstborn, especially firstborn. Our firstborn don't forget us since he married. His wife has collected his heart. You too, you marry. Don't worry. Your wife will collect your heart too. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the boss sat down and called the other brother and everybody. He said, "Okay, young pastor, what did you say you wanted to do for me in the office?" He said, he knew that the boss wanted them to learn from the earth. He knelt and said, "Sir, I want to give to you this money. It's my alawi, all of my alawi. I'm just led to give you, to appreciate you, to tell you thank you." He said it out loud. The boss said, "Thank you. I wish everybody can learn to behave like you." The other brothers and everybody was looking and they were feeling one kind. Who is this one spoiling our show? When they finished from that place, he took the guy. He said, "For doing this, I'm led to show you something I've not shown anybody." He taught him about real estate, connected him. The guy now is into real-time real estate, making millions. I told a story one time. He came to my house. He was telling me of a deal he was about to close. 55 million. He said his share in the deal was 25 million. His share. That means his money outside. That is his profit. And while we're talking, he was telling the man, "Money is not our problem, sir. If you are not interested, we can send back the money. You can always trust us." My mind was doing boom, boom, boom. I said, "What if that man actually does what he..." When he entered the call, he just rushed me with a shake. He said, "You see, we have to sound confident in faith." He said, "Sir, when I was saying that, in my mind was saying, let him not say send the money back." He said, "You can always trust us. We are genuine people." He said, "That's how God connected him to people. Connected him to people. That there was a time he was at a space, a location. After he prayed, he went there and they were showing him this property. He wanted to snap and put online. And one man just passed, one Igbo man. He said, "I've been looking for the people that own this property. Are you people the one?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Okay, where are the people?" I said, "They are not here, sir, but I can make that available." He said, "Okay, no problem. How much is it, a plot of land here?" He mentioned the guy bought a hectare, sent money to him for a hectare. He said, "Make sure you bring the paper for me tomorrow." He said, the man did not know him. All he did was to send the paper virtually, and he never saw that man again with his two eyes. I heard a story recently that a guy was so broke. He didn't want to take it easy. He began to do bolts. While he was doing bolts, he started noticing, looking around in real estate, small. Really, you see, I'm talking about real estate so much this season. Now, he carried one woman. You know, in Abuja, when you carry somebody in boat, it doesn't mean that they don't have good house and good cars. Maybe they just want to take boats that day. And the woman said, "Do you know where I can get good piece of land in this Abuja?" He said, "Yes, ma, I can make findings." She said, "Okay, call me your account number for findings. Call me your account number." She sent 15 million. He said, "When you get any land, let me know. Maybe you can deposit if it's not up to the amount." 15 million. I think, no, 25 million I heard, not 15 million. 25 million. So you can deposit if it's not up to, let me know. When you find the land. See, it's like magic. As I'm saying this thing, some of you are like me, with the kind of sense I get. If I send you money as a boat driver and they did not debit me and they now debit me later, I will call you. If you don't send back my 2.5, I will report you. How many of you will report boat drivers if they don't send your 2.5s? Imagine the 2.5 enter two times. Even this service, if you came to church with boat and that happened, you can't even concentrate on the service. You'll be reporting the boat driver during service. He should return my 2.5, else block his account. He said when he found out about the land, he wanted to call the woman to tell her. The woman said, please don't call my line again. Please. Bye-bye. She ended the call. He said, yes, I know I gave you so million. Don't worry. Just keep the money. Please don't call. You're always disturbing me. Don't call my. Just hold the money. Bye-bye. He called again. Bye-bye. See, now it's bye-bye he got. Meaning the 25 million is your own. Bye-bye. It sounds like Jegeba. Bye-bye. I mean, though, send 25 million and tell you bye-bye. True life. I heard it from a pastor's mouth. He said he just declared in church because the guy was always needing money in church. And he was always helping the guy. Then he declared in the name of Jesus, it's a new season. And the guy went after that. He did not stop his boat. He went and casted his net again. Are you listening to me? Same business. Thought he was carrying a normal human being. He didn't know he was carrying an angel. 25 million. That was what shifted that guy's life. The guy too did not stop. He entered real estate. He used 20 million. They said, started real estate investment. Now he's a millionaire. You just need to start. I told somebody, I said, if I have 2 billion, I will use 1.5 billion to buy lands in the world. Just 1 year, you'll be so shocked. We're pricing land for Mama T's mom recently in New Jersey. Land. I remember when they told me to come and take a land of 5 million in New Jersey. 5 million. I said to them, I can't do that for now. Blah, 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 blah. Now they say a plot there is 20 million. Buy or go. 20 what? Which coin will you buy? That will give you 20 million in 1 year. 15 million interest. Well, there are some. I know college is trying to tell me the names in his heart. But you know, not everybody believes in this coin of a thing. You know, if you buy coin, you can be, your heart will, as the thing is going up and down, your heart will be going up and down, up and down. But if you buy land, your heart will just be going up and up. No matter how you like coin, buy land though. Land only appreciates, it never de-appreciates. See Yakio, 250 that year. 250. My friend was talking about buying land in Yakio. I was laughing. I said, you are going to a village. Stay in Makodi. He went and bought 250. Do you know how much is a plot now in Yakio? 6-7 million. Yakio. Hear the name. 6-7 million. 8 million. 10 million. Close to the road. 10 million. So imagine you have 10 million and you keep there. Next 2 years, how much do you have? 30 million. The guy now is a big guy. In millions. Now I'm talking about that, my friend. He's in millions now. When I saw the car recently, 2 days ago, he said, I just ordered this one from US. He said, US, man of God. You know the way we talk. He said, I placed the order. 22 million, 1 million for clearance. Sir, from US. Sir, feel the car. He owned the car. He said, sir, sit down there, AC. US AC blow you. We talk like that. Very funny young man. Immediately got to die, he just called me to come and see the car. The first time I came in the bed, he said, man of God, come and see something. I said, well, which bike are you using? I'm around. He said, man of God, me still on bike. Hi, man of God, you see, you are not praying for me. Man of God, have you seen one black Benz? I said, I've seen one Benz. One new one. Very fine. I said, yes. Say, man of God, wave your hand. Let me park beside you. As I waved my hand, they came, they parked. He came out. He said, man of God, bless this car. God has changed his story. Now, it was just praying. You see, there's a way God does it. You would think praying in tongues is a waste of time. It was in the praying in tongues he heard the instruction so amount. The Bible says God giveth bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Don't eat your seed as bread. You know, if for instance that guy sat down and said, I know this money, I know what it will buy for me in the house. He would have always lived in hunger like that widow woman. She said to herself, I'll eat my last today, tomorrow I'll die. Well, look at him today. For the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory. Hey, Babylonians, say amen.
Amen.
Believe it. Catch the wave of the anointing. Get it. Catch it. It's your season in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't talk fear. Don't talk lack. Don't talk unbelief. Don't behave like a low life. Imagine you are born again full of the Holy Ghost and they are toasting you like bread. Men are just taking advantage of you. And you are shouting the gold and mine. No, you are there. It is you that is theirs. You can never walk in the blessing that way. You are seated under the sound of my voice as I'm shouting. You are saying, yes, it's mine. And you are toasting five girls at the same time. God will never bless you. Because if he does that, that blessing, you will use it to kill girls and kill yourself. Did you get what I just said? If you like, don't get it. It's the truth. Is the truth. Purity. Are you listening to me? For we God's covenant people, he wants to bless us with from purity. He wants us to be pure so that the prosperity will not destroy us. Hello, fellow billionaires. Money comes to you because you use it the right way. Like I said, you've given Jesus your time. Sorry, your boat. He has preached the gospel and now it's time for you to cast your net. Say amen.
Amen.
It's time for you to cast your net. Say amen.
Amen.
It's your season.
Yes,
and I tell you the truth, if you believe it, from December into next year, mind-blowing testimony. Mind-blowing testimony. Some of you will begin to get jobs from now. The jobs is not the end, though. It's an indication that the hand of God is upon you. And from this job, he will push you and push you. Get seated. Now, the first thing he will do is to give you a job. I'm speaking prophetically. And through this job, he will cause you to start setting businesses. Are you listening to me? And through this business, he will bring you into financial freedom. Such that as you are sleeping, money is coming. Hello, fellow billionaires. You are laying your head, money is coming. Goodness and mercy shall haunt you. Haunt you. I declare goodness and mercy shall haunt you down.
Amen.
All the days of your life.
Amen.
Yes, it's happening. Can you catch the wind?
Yes,
can you catch it?
Yes,
oh, glory, 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 glory. I feel it. I see it. Testimonies are everywhere around. I'm in the middle of it. Woo! Glory to God. I'm in the middle of it. It's happening now, 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 now. Hallelujah. Yes, we're in the middle of it. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. You may have come out from a poor home, but a poor home can never come out of it. It will not. Riches are finding expression from you. Beyond what you study. And don't have faith in what you study. Say because of what? No, God is making you rich. Whether you studied animality or zoology or farming or whatsoever, it has nothing to do with the anointing on your life. You are a blessed man. And wherever you go, you are blessed. The blessing will find expression. When there is famine, you will walk because it will come. Like Isaac. Get seated. It's happening. It's happening. Hallelujah. Can you feel it? Feel it. Catch the wave. When you go home, keep on feeling it. Is it one thing with the blessing is that it's on you. You feel it. You feel the weight of the blessing on you. You may not be doing something that is giving you so much money yet, but you are conscious of the blessing.
Yes, sir.
If you keep on being conscious of the blessing will tell you what to do.
Yes,
the blessing will give you the idea. The weight of the blessing will push you in another direction. Jacob was so conscious of the blessing in his foolishness. The blessing made him to become a great scientist. He figured out an eye there. All of his sheaves now are getting fatter, and the wicked man wanted to take it back. The Lord gave him an idea. He said, cause them to be looking at the river and be looking at that the leaves should be shining green and blah, blah, blah. They drink the water. They will become green in color, and it will indicate that these ones belong to you. See what the blessing does. It gives you strategy. Gives you strategy. Strategy nobody has ever seen in this world. That young man was praying in tongues, ka, 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 and the Lord God told him, do this. And here are we. He was telling me the voice that I was praying for, as I was giving him a word, because you know we're just joking. It's a man of God prophesied to me. And I said, next year, and I truly saw it. I began to tell him what will happen next year. And he was telling me he was already preparing for that. I said, get your house built. Thus says the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. And I told him a few things. But see, it was because of the consciousness. Now, he has started working in the blessing, the manifestation of the blessing. Yet, he still wants to hear what God is saying. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that it will keep him sustained in the blessing. You know, you can't be living a fake life and be claiming you are blessed. The blessing does not say, if you are really blessed, you are not living a fake life. See, you may not have a job right now as you are all seated. Some of you may not have a job. But you just know that you can never be poor in your life. That's the blessing consciousness on your inside. You may not have a job. You see, if you stay so much on the fact that you can never be poor, that mentality will push you in the right direction. Stop thinking, I don't have a job, I don't have a job. Start thinking, I can never be poor in my life. I can. Oh, I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. As you are talking like that, you are downloading ideas. You are making room for ideas to come. You are making room for strategies to come. Be conscious of the blessing. Stop pondering on your pain. Stop looking at the details. Satan is in the details. Speak the results. If I'm really blessed, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why? Forget about that. At the end, you end up in what you are conscious of and what you have been saying. If you have been saying the right things, forget about what you are seeing now. Joseph said, he said, I saw that all of you bow down to me. There were stars, blah, 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 and I was the brightest star, and you all bow down to me. He said what he saw. And what he saw implicated him. They said, this boy, let's kill him. Brothers took him, threw him in a well. After a few days, took him, sold him into slavery. No problem. He has said something. He must end up in what he has said. You know, some people say, Joseph was not wise. Don't see your dreams, your vision too fast. Else the enemy is not that powerful, brothers and sisters. Said Jesus. Jesus kept on saying that the Son of Man would kill, will what? Will subject himself to death and rise up the third day. He said everything that will happen to him. Satan did not have anything to do. Satan only helped to make sure that the vision was manifested very fast. At a point, Jesus said, whatever you want to do, do it fast. Because what you are supposed to do is part of the equation. You are part of this thing. That you are in a well, no problem. It is part of it. It is make if Jacob was Joseph was never in the way, how would he have gotten to Egypt? If they never sold him to slavery, how would he have gotten to Egypt? He went there, he thought he was already blessed. He thought being a servant of Potiphar was a blessing. And now there's a problem. He said, no, this faith that brought me here, I will not compromise this faith. There's something that brought me here. It is more precious than gold. Even though I'm working here, I know I need to feed my family. I need to do, but you see, I will not sleep with this woman. I will not, like a lady will say, I will not sleep with that man. See, where you are is not the end of what God can do. No matter where you are, I'm not prophesying doom, but never compromise your faith because you think you are in the blessing right now. Somebody wants to, if God really brought you here, he will sustain you there. You will not use a demonic strategy to keep yourself there. No, I will never compromise. Joseph refused to compromise. Got into prison, no problem. Kept on being the best. In the prison, he became the class monitor. He was in charge. Kept on interpreting dreams. He didn't say, oh God, because you are not faithful, I leave the grace in my life. Mm-mm. He kept on manifesting, showing the grace of the prophetic. He was interpreting dreams. Never realizing that whatever he was doing, the gifts he was sharpening in the prison will pave the way for him. Who would have thought that somebody in prison will get to palace? Who in prison knows anybody in the palace? Oh dear Jesus, you don't get what I'm trying to say, right? How would Joseph imagine that anybody in that prison can take him to the palace? One day the king just thought it that that person he pushed in the prison, one day the king said to himself, where is that my butler that I threw in the prison? Let's just give grace. Let there be grace for him to come back to the palace. And while he left the palace, Joseph did not say, please remember me or blah, blah, blah. He left. He went away. And when he went, while the king dreamt, he dreamt. Nobody could interpret the dream. And the guy said, there was one man in our prison in Kirikiri. While in Kirikiri, he was telling us the meaning of our dreams. He would just stand up and be prophesying to us, be teaching us the word of God. Sir, that man can interpret your dream. He said, Eze Wine did not do it. Sango did not do it. Amadua did not do it. You say, who will do it? One guy, where is the guy? In Kirikiri. Are you okay? The king said, okay, if he does not do it, I'll cut off your head. He said, sir, I've already kept my head. You can cut it. Joseph will do it. The guy trusts Joseph so much. See, it's not about emotions. He has seen Joseph do this thing over and over and over again. He can pledge anything saying Joseph can do it. I mean, Joseph was so, he sharpened his gift so much where? In prison. I mean, in Makodi. He sharpened it so much there. While he was in the prison. Sorry, I said Makodi. He was sharpening it. Sharpening it. Sharpening it. I mean, you don't have the job yet. Why are you working so hard on learning programming like that? Well, you know, nobody's paying you. Why learning that course like that? Why? What keep on? He kept on. There's a guy that can do this thing. He came out. He did not fall the guy's hand. His head was what was pledged. He did not have one fear when he saw Joseph. Just like one time I was watching football. Some of you say I like Ronaldo so much. Alright. Marcelo, they gave the ball to Ronaldo. So Marcelo started celebrating the goal. How many of you saw that video? They just gave Ronaldo the ball from outside the 18. As they gave Ronaldo the ball, Marcelo started doing his hand. Like, he was already celebrating the goal. There were like five people. Ronaldo dribbled five of them and scored. Before he scored, Marcelo was already celebrating the goal. Messi fans are not happy. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you know, Ronaldo fits in this example, not because of I don't like Messi, but Ronaldo just fits in them. Hallelujah to Jesus. And before you know it, he interpreted all of the dreams. The king did not know the interpretation, but when the interpretation came, the king said, this is it. He found rest. He said, hey, that's it. He said, this man is too intelligent. He said, listen, everybody, he did not ask of his tribal. He did not ask of where he's coming from. He did not ask who the father was. He said, everybody, hear me. Outside me, anything Joseph says, everybody hear it. Except I come and debunk it. Anything Joseph should say in this land should be a law. Follow it. Nobody could question him. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. Nobody said it's not our tribe. What this guy is offering is too much. That's why I say work on yourself. To a point that people will know, any tribe will look at you and say, they don't care where you are coming from. If this guy is not here, this thing will not work. Work on yourself to that point. If this lady is not here, it will not work. That point, you have what we call shalom, shalom, peace on every side. You are not scared of anything. Are you listening to me? What he said happened. They say he said the dream too early, but that's foolishness. Whatever you have heard in the secret place, say on the mountain top. Don't be scared. Joseph said it. And when he said it, the brothers facilitated the dream to become a manifestation. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Because some people that are part of this dream becoming a reality are the wicked, the naysayers, the haters, the enemies. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The devil said, if I had known, I would have not crucified. He thought he was killing Jesus. He didn't know he was facilitating the dream to become a reality very fast. Jesus told him, he said to Judas, whatever you want to do, do it fast. It was not Judas he was speaking to the devil in Judas. He said, do it fast. And when he did it, he regretted doing it. Because it made it more easier. Listen, they are making it more easy. Oh, glory, 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 glory. You may have been sacked. Maybe conspiracy against you. They sack you. They just made it easier, brothers and sisters. Now you are getting to another realm. A higher realm of glory. Are you listening to me? Where they will look at you one day and say, ah, we lost somebody. We lost somebody. We lost somebody here. We regret making this mistake. But it would have been too late. Because right now, they've made you second in command. Outside Pharaoh, you are the one in charge. And you don't want to go back nowhere again. Hallelujah to Jesus. Work on yourself. When Joseph went to the prison, he didn't say, ah, God, God, God. Why? No, he kept on working on himself. Kept on working. No problem. He knew that it was a lie. They lied against him. Potiphar did not believe. He thought his wife was actually a victim. See, there's a way God does things. Nobody can be a better actor than God. The Bible says when they plot against Jesus in the book of Psalms 2. He said, when they plot against the anointed one, the Bible says, he that seated in the heavens was laughing. I mean, it was so interesting to Jesus, to God Almighty, he began to laugh. They are plotting against the anointed one. How many of you are anointed in this place? I don't know who is plotting against you, but the person is causing so much laughter in the realm of the spirit. As long as you are in faith, all things are working together for your good. The selling to the slaves, selling as a slave to those masters was the working to, was part of the working together. The sack was part of the working. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I got the news. Some of my guys were employed somewhere and they were now removed. So I just said to myself, fret not, work on yourself. Work on yourselves. I said, oh God, why did you do that? You know, what got me sad was that they were so excited when they got the job, and they now sent another circular that they've been removed. There's a lot of things to say, but it's not for public consumption. So I said, keep on working on yourselves. Forget about that. For the glory that God has for you is nothing compared to whatever you have seen today. See, in 5 years' time, when we see this video, we'll be laughing. We will not even believe it. In 5 years' time, when we look at this MI today, it will make us to laugh. Some of you will be laughing at yourself. Because when you see the video, you think this is something close to the best. No. Some of you have beautiful homes, beautiful families. Everything about your life, 100% beautiful. Are you listening to me? So perfect. So perfect. Some of you see us in manifestations. I'm coming from Johannesburg. I had a meeting with the president of South Africa concerning a business deal, blah blah blah. Okay, make sure you are fast. You are the one leading opening prayer in the service. Yes, sir. First thing, my pilot will just fly me, and I will make it to the service very, very early. Glory to God. And after service, we are greeting. So how was the meeting with the president of the U.S.? So it was so fine. It was so productive, sir. He actually was more impressed than what he saw. He said the way they even presented it was not as perfect as the way I said it with my mouth. And that he wanted me to even manage more firms for them. My God. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you catch it? In verse 40 of Numbers 13. I think, yeah. Chapter 14, blah, blah, blah. The Bible said when the two spies were done speaking, the people of children of Israel took up stones to stone them. As we are saying this thing now, some people are like, they dream. God's dream come true. It always come to pass. Joseph said it. Did it happen? Did they finally bow down? They bow down. It doesn't matter what they are doing, they'll bow down. Are you listening to me? The gold are yours. See, it's not our focus. Money is not our focus. But listen to me. You work on money. You lay up gold as dust. You lay up gold as dust. Don't connect your tomorrow with anything happening today. Except for the fact that you are saying the right words. That's the only thing you find in the future. All these things you are saying now and believing is the only thing you see in the future. But sufferings, no sufferings. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Captain, look at Yahi. I zoom and I close, man. For captain's sake, let me end. You know why I'm ending? Because he has parade and he's leaving. This is going to be his last day in church. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes, let me end it because of captain. It's worth ending. I promised him that before one. I don't know how we got to one. But you know, you are enjoying the preaching. Should I continue the preaching? For captain's sake. Kai. Kai. Glory Carriers members. Even though you are enjoying it, you want it to finish. All right, for captain's sake. Lord, will give you praise. Did you catch it? Did you catch everything tonight? It's your time. It's your time. Stand up, shake five people, go around. Tell them it's your time. Congratulations. Somebody shake Sarah. Tell Sarah it's your time. She's meditating. Some people are not standing, they are just seated. Say it's your time. I feel it. I see it. Testimonies. I feel it. I'm in the middle of it. I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. It's up with it now. Testimonies. Go cast your nets. Let's see that.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.